If you do not understand my accent, then it is my responsibility and my fault. Your kingdom come. Is this your prayer to God? Do you wish for the kingdom to be established? And of course, I'm taking this passage from a familiar text, the Lord's Prayer. And all of us might have memorized it. As the Lord's Prayer, if you can remember, the disciples came to Jesus Christ and asked, "Teach us how to pray." Look at John the Baptist. He taught his disciples how to pray. Teach us how to pray. And the Lord Jesus Christ taught his disciples how to pray. And we all know that. Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory and glory and forever. But today, as we look at this Lord's Prayer, do we really understand it? Do we recite it with meaningfulness? Often, we just simply recite without understanding. Just give me 15 or 30 seconds to explain all the six petitions. The first petition, hallowed be thy name. What does that mean? We are asking God for his name to be hallowed, to be exalted, to be consecrated. And all the other five petitions are in line with this first petition. In every subsequent petition, our aim is to glorify God. The second petition, thy kingdom come. What are we praying in that petition? We are praying that God's rule will exist where the word of Christ is believed and obeyed. Third petition, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. What are we praying there? We are praying that God's will be done. How? Through our submission to God's will, which comes from his word. And also submitting to God's sovereign will in all things. It's a dangerous prayer to pray, to submit to God's sovereign will. Do we do that? Fourth petition, give us this day our daily bread. We are asking God to provide all our daily necessities of life. In other words, we are seeking dependence, total dependence upon God. The fifth petition, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. We are praying that God will enable us to forgive others as we are forgiven. In other words, we are praying for our lives to be a life of repentance. A life of repentance. And then six. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We are asking God for protection and deliverance from all temptations. In other words, we are asking that God will enable us to live a life of holiness. Holiness. But now, our focus is on the second petition. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom come. In the seminary, we learned the best way to answer questions is to lay down the shorter catechisms. Whether it is in the ordination exam or licensure exam or anywhere, just recite the shorter catechism and you will be all right. And that's what I'm going to do now. Your kingdom come. What does that mean? I think the Shorter Catechism lays out very, very clearly and concisely. Question 102 says, what do we pray for in the second petition? In the second petition, which is, thy kingdom come, we pray that Satan's kingdom may be destroyed and that the kingdom of grace may be advanced, ourselves and others brought into it and kept in it, and that the kingdom of glory may be hastened. But first of all, we need to understand what is meant by kingdom of God. When we think of kingdom, we think of realm or domain. And when we think of kingdom, we think of king and subjects. And we should think about the government. How does the government rule its people? Through the law. And similarly, God reigns over us using the law of God, which is the word of God. When we think of kingdom of God, it is not a physical kingdom. It is not winning territories. Jesus answered Pilate in this way, my kingdom is not of this world. So what does that mean? He's talking about spiritual kingdom, where believers will be ushered into this kingdom, a kingdom of believers, a spiritual kingdom whereby Christ will rule in our hearts. That's the kingdom of God. And we desire God's kingdom to be established and Satan's kingdom may be destroyed. And that's what we pray, that your kingdom come. And concerning the destruction of Satan's kingdom, often we do not think about Satan. Sometimes we think about Satan as some mysterious spirit that doesn't exist. But according to the word of God, Satan is real. He is a being. It's not an imaginary thing. And John has already told us in his epistles that Satan is a deceiver and a murderer from the beginning, as he was at the Garden of Eden. And also, the Apostle Peter describes Satan as the adversary. Satan is like a roaring lion seeking whom he might devour. You know what? Peter understood that, because Peter went through the temptation. Jesus told Peter that Satan has sought permission to sift him, to test him. And we all know the Apostle Peter denied Christ 3 times. And that's what he was able to pen in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Satan's goal is to obstruct the progress of God's kingdom. And therefore, Satan lays all kinds of obstacles and hindrances. Since the church planters, the missionaries are in the forefront of the battle, we always sense that Satan lays all kinds of hindrances and obstacles when we share the gospel to the unbelievers. I had been trying to organize a vacation Bible school in a public elementary school in Herndon, Virginia. They rejected me. So we sought a community center, and for the last 2 or 3 years we have been having vacation Bible school in a community center. But we thank God that God provided this avenue where we can have this vacation Bible school, and some of you came and helped us. I also try to have a good news club in this particular elementary school in Herndon and sought permission through the CF organization, and it was rejected. And this particular school has 90% Indians. 90% Indians. And that's why we wanted to have this good news club in this elementary school. But God opened another door in another elementary school in that Herndon area. It does not have 90% Indians, perhaps 60%, but still it is good. But God opened the place there. Satan is working very hard. Although we have this permission to have this goodness club in this second elementary school, the people there are saying that if we don't have enough children, they will pull that back also. So the parent-teacher association are working very hard not to have good news club, not to have any form of gospel presentation. And that's why we need to pray, "Thy kingdom come, thy kingdom come," because Satan, like a roaring lion, is trying to stop the work of God. Satan finds all kinds of ways to deter the advancement of the kingdom of grace. Satan is powerful, and let us not underestimate the power of Satan. But God is powerful more than Satan. God is all powerful. And then now we come to the advancement of the kingdom of grace. So how can the kingdom of God be established? How can the kingdom of grace be advanced? And the simple answer is this: through the proclamation of God's word. As what Brother Mike Cunha said, no gimmicks, no fanciness, purely through the proclamation of God's word. I got to know a man who was looking for a Reformed church in the Fairfax County area. He just moved to that area with his family, and they were looking for a Reformed church. And he happened to go to this particular church, and he was sitting there, and the orchestra was playing a very beautiful music. After the music, the pastor stood up and he said this: "What I want to say, the music said it all. What I wanted to say, the music said it all. What happened to the proclamation of God's word?" And my friend, he left the church and looked for another church. Once my professor at the seminary said this: "Don't ever joke about the word of God. Don't ever joke about the word of God." You know, in the New Testament, John the Baptist, he preached faith and repentance. Faith and repentance. He preached gospel. And when the Lord Jesus Christ came, same thing. He preached faith and repentance. That's how God's kingdom is being established. And later, Peter and Paul, they did the same thing. Simply, they preached the gospel. And if you remember the Apostle Peter, On the day of Pentecost, he preached the gospel. And those who heard the gospel were pricked, cut to their heart. And what happened? 3,000 souls were saved. 3,000 souls were saved. There was no gimmick, no fanciness, except the proclamation of God's word. The word of God has power. It is living and powerful, sharper than any double-edged sword. And therefore, let us not underestimate the power of the word of God. People need the gospel. I've been visiting this particular man, and his name is Mr. Robert, and he had a pizza restaurant in Herndon. For 1 year, I was visiting him, and I was inviting him to Bible study and worship. But every time I visited him, I shared the word of God. And there was one time, I texted him, "Can I come and visit you in your house? Because I've never been to your house and I've never met your wife." And so he said, "Yes, please come." So he invited to his house. Jemima and I visited him. And his wife made a good meal for us. Good biryani. And after the meal, I opened the Word of God. And I went to the Lord's Prayer. I understood that the family was going through a difficult time, and I was wondering, what shall I share with them? And I chose the fourth petition, "Give us this day our daily bread." And I encouraged them to trust in God, to put total dependence upon God, because it is God who supplies all our needs, our daily bread, not only clothes, water, shelter, food, but everything that we need for the day, God provides, as he provided the Israelites with the manna. But if you look at Matthew chapter 6, towards the end, Christ taught his disciples not to worry, because the sparrow does not worry, but yet God feeds it. The lilies do not worry, yet God clothes it. And we had a long discussion on this particular petition. And both the husband and wife were very encouraged. God moved their hearts. They started to come for the Bible study and worship. There is power in the Word of God. People need the gospel. And I want to ask you this. Are you burdened for the advancement of the kingdom of grace? Are you burdened? Think about the Apostle Paul. In Romans chapter 10, verse 1, these are the words he wrote to the Romans. "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved." That was the burden of the Apostle Paul. My heart's desire and prayer is that Israel will be saved. Why? They had everything. They had God's promises. They had the Word of God. They had the covenants. They had the law of God. Yet they did not believe in God. Should we not be burdened for the people around us? The Hindus, the Muslims, the Buddhists, and all kinds of unbelievers around us. Should we not be burdened for their salvation? Should not we be concerned about the things around us? Lately, I've been thinking about relativism and the erosion of moral values. Relativism. As I studied the book of John, especially the passage where Pilate asked this question, what is truth? He asked Jesus, what is truth? He had no idea about truth, or right or wrong. There was one time, after the soccer game, my friend and I were traveling the car. I was sending my friend back to his house. And it was a road where there was a school, so you can only travel at 25 miles per hour maximum. So I was going at a slow speed. But then I was worried. I wanted to make sure that there was no person about to cross the road because there were cars on the right and left. After confirming that there was no people, I wanted to turn left into the subdivision. Suddenly, I saw a woman crossing the road with the phone, not looking at left or right, simply crossing the road. And I had to stop, make an immediate stop. And I was stunned. After the lady has crossed the road, I turned into the subdivision. I lowered my window and asked the lady, ma'am, you could have been killed. And she said, well, you should be driving slowly and there's a stop sign. I can take a picture of your car and I can call 911. My friend and I were stunned. What? You were almost killed. And you didn't thank me. And you didn't care anything about your life. What this means is that they are always right. They are always right. We are living in a society where everybody thinks he or she is right. There's no place for truth, nor absolute truth. So the next day, a Japanese lady came to our house, and I shared this thing with her. And she said, yeah, that's what I'm seeing. People here don't know what is right or wrong. And even myself, I do not know sometimes what is right and what is wrong. I said, exactly. That's why we need the Word of God, which has absolute truth. And she is a Japanese lady, an unbeliever. We have been witnessing to her for almost a year. Erosion of moral values. And that's the next thing which bothers me, that makes me to pray, Lord, your kingdom come. When we think of marriage, the way God designed marriage is between man and woman. But things are changing. We are hearing same-sex marriage and so on. LGBTQ movement and all these things. And abortion. And the other day I was listening to Al Mohler's briefing. It was 30th September 2019. You can go and check. In that briefing, he said this concerning the infanticide on demand. Quote, in Sydney, it was reported abortion has been decriminalized in New South Wales, Australia's most populous state, overturning a 119-year-old law. The bill removes abortion from the state's criminal code. Terminations will now be permitted up to 22 weeks. Later abortions will be allowed if two doctors agree. They also must seek advice from a hospital advisory committee. Mood of the parliament. While cheering erupted in the state parliament in Sydney as legislation passed its final vote, ending more than 70 hours of often acrimonious debate. I want you to pay attention to this. The mood of the parliament, there was wild cheering. See where the world is going? Do not our hearts want to cry out, "Thy kingdom come"? And now we come to the kingdom of God begins at home. Before we think of the community or educational institutions, government agencies, and corporate offices, the kingdom of God must begin at Christian homes. The kingdom of God must begin at Christian homes. Is Jesus the king of your household? Are you, fathers, mothers, and children, subjects of King Jesus? Are you ruled by King Jesus? Is the law of God proclaimed at your home? Before I go on, let me ask you this. Do you conduct family worship in your home? You know, Deuteronomy chapter 6, there it is written. Verses 4 through 9. Listen to this. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I command you today shall be in your heart. You shall teach them diligently to your children, and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, when you walk by the way, when you lie down, and when you rise up. You shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates." Did you hear that? "You shall teach them diligently to your children." Are we doing that? We need to teach our children God's thoughts and His ways. You know, there was one time I was sitting in a Sunday school, and one young man asked this question. He actually grew up in a Christian family. And he asked this question: "Is the fourth commandment relevant today? Is the fourth commandment relevant today? Keep the day, keep the Sabbath day holy. Is that fourth commandment relevant today?" I was stunned. And I'm thinking, well, we should not be surprised. One day children might be saying, "Is the Bible true? Is it relevant today?" And that's why family worship is so vital. Family worship doesn't mean that we need to have a full liturgy at home. Not necessary. If you can have, that will be good. Basically, we need to teach our children the absolute truths from the Word of God. Let us not lose this privilege of family worship to teach our children God and His Word. Again, I was listening to Al Moles Briefing, and he said, there's one particular country, Sunday school or religious teaching is prohibited for anyone under the age of 18. Many Christian parents can face fines or other consequences for bringing their children to church or raising their children in faith at home. Did you hear that? under the age of 18 in this particular country, children are not allowed to be taught the Word of God. But here, we have all the freedom, and are we making use that God-given freedom? So while you have this religious freedom, have family worship regularly at home. Read the law of God to your family. God's kingdom is established where God's word is believed and obeyed. Let me repeat that. God's kingdom is established when God's word is believed and obeyed. Pray that the kingdom of God will be established in your home. All in all, we pray in this second petition, the hastening of the kingdom of glory. That's what we read in this shorter catechism. Hastening of the kingdom of glory. Let us not only pray for Satan's kingdom to be destroyed and the kingdom of grace advanced. Let us also pray for the hastening of the kingdom of glory. As we labor in his kingdom, let us patiently wait for that glorious day. All nations, tribes, and tongues will come before God one day. Americans, Europeans, Indians, Chinese, Hispanics, Italians, Hondurans. There will be a day that all will be gathered in unity and worship before our God, our King. So do you see the urgent need for the second petition? Your kingdom come. Pastors, elders, deacons, missionaries, RUF ministers, fathers and husbands, let me encourage you with these words. Paul said these words to Timothy, "Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." Let us be diligent. Let us faithfully handle the word of God. No need to be ashamed of Christ and his word. Let us teach our children and others God's word. Second, Paul exhorted the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58 in this way. "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the word of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." And that's why I draw my encouragement to, that we should be steadfast and immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that our labor is not in vain. And that is the encouragement to all of us. And finally, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 4. "And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is vain, and your faith is also vain." Everything that we do will be in vain. The mission conference will be in vain. Even this particular petition, "Thy kingdom come," will be in vain. But Christ has risen. So we can pray this petition. And may we pray this petition with conviction and understanding. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Father, we thank you, Lord, for this passage, particularly this petition, Lord, "Thy kingdom come." Lord, may this be our prayer. We pray that Satan's kingdom will be destroyed and the kingdom of grace will be advanced and the kingdom of glory will be hastened. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.